familiar theme song introduces Back to the Bible. Today, Theodore Epp will bring you a message from the Word of God as a help to your daily Christian living. The music by the choir, quartet, and soloists is under the direction of Norman Wolf.
I love to tell the story.
Quartet has laid the foundation for another Back to the Bible broadcast. I'm your friend Theodore Epp, and you're going to hear some more music. This time it's going to be something about the Bible, even my mother's Bible. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. And then our study will take us back to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans once again. Recently I received a letter written by a person in a dark pen, very large letters. Reminded me of what Paul said. Paul said, I have written to you in large letters. Paul had eye trouble. And this person had eye trouble. And they were asking, he says, do you have such and such and such, a Bible study material on cassette or reels so that I can listen to it? Well, I just want to tell you, friends, we have a lot of material in our cassette library, which is a lending library for the handicapped. It includes, of course, Bible study material and much on Christian growth. And every month you can read the Good News Broadcaster and the Young Ambassador, many other things. If you are in need of such, remember, the lending aspect is absolutely free, and we would be so happy to send you a complete listing, a catalog that will list everything that we have and also tell you how you can enter with us in receiving these cassettes on a regular basis. Just simply write to us then at the Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Perfect and sure, the cross may not fail, its truth cannot fail. Yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Read a chapter every day and don't forget to pray. It's time to take the Bible out again. The Bible gathers dust day after day. The golden rule the world will not obey. We should read it every day, live by its truth away. Listen and believe me when I say, yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Read a chapter every day and don't forget to pray. It's time to take the Bible out again. Our hearts are filled with hatred and with greed. While nations fight their hungry mouths to feed. With the Bible at our side to comfort and to guide. Jesus comes to fill our every need. Yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Yes, it's time to take the Bible out again.
Out again.
Read a chapter every day and don't forget to pray. It's time to take the Bible out again.
How our musicians mix some of the old songs with some of the new. Like my mother's Bible, I remember singing that as a kid. And then the one the quartet had was brand new to me. Some of you may remember some of these old songs. Yes, it's the book, so you have your book open now, the Bible. at the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, where our study is again today. I've been taking considerable time for the first two verses, because they are absolutely foundational to everything that follows, and they lay sort of the framework for it, because now we have the practical aspect of the outworking of the salvation that God has inworked, and the wonderful things that God has given us and made possible for us and in us, and wants to work through us by His Holy Spirit. And so we see the practical side. Let's study it together. Now, Father, we've opened the book again, and by opening the book, let us open our spiritual eyes, our very minds, our very hearts, our inner being, that Thy Word might find lodging and accomplish what You want it to accomplish. In Jesus' name, we thank You for this victory. Amen. Let's look at this 12th chapter once again, verse 1 and 2, where He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, looking back to all that has happened, that by the mercies of God, or because of all these mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He wants our physical body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We've discussed that in detail. A holy, acceptable, a sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That was a very important thing. By the renewing of your mind. Now the mind can be brought under the total control of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5, we read about the weapons that men have, that God has given. They're not carnal, but they're weapons of the Spirit. And by the Spirit, we can bring under absolute control the very thoughts of the mind. With this in mind, we read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 3, that we are to set our priorities, because we are His, we belong to Him. Listen to the words. For if ye then, or since ye then, be risen with Christ, we are alive, in other words, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above. That is, apply your mind to things which are above, not to things on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. With that now, we come to a very, very important statement made. It's the last statement of verse 2. He says, that ye may prove, or that ye may know, what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let's look at this backwards. In other words, we want to know the will of God. We want to know what God wants us to do. And I've heard people say now, if I just knew what God would have me to do, then I would look it over and see if I want to really surrender to God. Now, maybe we wouldn't say that, but we often think that. Well, let me tell you something, friends. This verse makes very, very clear that God is not going to tell you what His will is until you have committed your whole self unto Him. God expects us to trust Him, to have total confidence in Him. Has anybody ever proven anything that God has done that was not good for us? Oh, it didn't seem good at the time, but it was good. God says all things work together for the good. Do you believe God? So He says that you may prove, that you may know what is the will of God. That is, test out and to discover. Now this word prove here is a scientific word. It's like a test in the laboratory. That we may prove to ourselves. That we may know without a shadow of a doubt, by proof and by testing, that thus approving in order to follow. In other words, we want to know that is the will of God, but if we commit ourselves totally unto God, then He will begin to show you His will. Now, frankly, He won't show you His will for your whole life all at one time, but a step at a time. So the prerequisite to know the will of God in your life is a total commitment of yourself unto Him, according to verse 1 and the first half of verse 2. Total commitment of yourself unto Him. Now, what is the will of God? That is what He says here. What is the will of God? This is important. His will is only then made known when we present our bodies unto Him. He does not explain His will nor reveal it until an unconditional surrender. And that's the way it ought to be, because He's God. I trust God. And if I wouldn't trust, in other words, I'm proving that I'm not trusting God when I won't turn my body over to Him. So the will of God is described in three of its aspects. He says the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. Let's look at them for a moment. The good will of God. Now that means it's pure. It is always good, even if it sometimes seems hard to understand. Romans 8:28, we said again, He worketh all things for our good. So His will is good. But then more than that, this goes beyond that. It is acceptable. If you want to know what the acceptable will of God is, I mean acceptable unto Him, not necessarily always acceptable unto men, but it meets the pleasure of God. That's the important thing, meeting the pleasure of God. And it can always be acceptable to you too. It can be, because we know that He only asks that which is acceptable unto Him. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we read these words, beginning with verse 9. Wherefore we labor, meaning we are ambitious, concerned, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, or may be acceptable or pleasing to Him. Not accepted from the standpoint of salvation. That's done by receiving Jesus Christ. But acceptable unto Him as far as our life is concerned. Then remember, he says, for we must all appear, we must, I emphasize that, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment concerning condemnation. No more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But this is now a judgment concerning the works, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now back to the second verse again there. He says that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable. And then finally he comes with the word, the perfect will of God. That is, lacking nothing, in no respect whatsoever. We may not always see it that way, but He knows the end from the beginning. And what I need and what He wants for me is His eternal purpose. He knows what He's doing. He leads only and always in the perfect way. A verse that I've memorized and a verse that I go back to over and over again in my prayer life is Psalm 32, verse 8. Listen to the words. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Did you get it? I will guide you with mine eye. Are you willing to trust God's eye? I can only see, as the calendar shows me today, but I cannot even see what's ahead of me. I cannot see what is going to come the rest of the day. Someone just told me this morning when I came into the office here and said, well, this weekend's been rather eventful around here. Such and such broke his leg and so had something else happen to it. And so, see, we don't see those things ahead. But we know that God is guiding us with His eye. And so it is that many, many times I've turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know which way to go, but I'm willing to trust You. Your eye sees far beyond everything, and I'm most willing to trust You altogether for that, and just to leave it in Your hands. He will guide me with His eye. Don't you like that? Then 1 Corinthians 10:13 does say that there is no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God says, I will take care of you. Now I want you to learn to trust me. God leads only and always in a perfect way, my friends. Romans 8:28-29 says that things work together for the good so that we might be conformed unto His image. So He is working on us. So to conclude these two verses, may I just say this, that these two verses are basic and fundamental, foundational for everything now that follows in the remainder of the book of Romans. What follows is simply further exhortation and revealing God's good and acceptable and perfect will of God for us. So remember this, to be is more important than to do, for the doing comes from the being. Now going on then in this 12th chapter, and this is your next lesson, lesson 12, and it speaks of our relationship and our responsibilities toward those who are without and toward those who are within. However, even preceded by our relationship and responsibility toward God's given gifts that He has given unto us. Verses 3 through 8 talks about the gifts that God has given unto us. Let me read verse 3. For I say therefore, or through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's a way to paraphrase this, and Arthur S. Way paraphrased it something like this. He says, do not have any uplifted and unjustifiable notions of your own importance. I think that's fairly good. It speaks right to where we are, doesn't it? All right then. The church, that is, the born-again one, is not a mere organization, but rather an organism. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. This we have seen and see again in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, where he makes very clear that we have all by one Spirit been baptized into one body, made members of one body. Verse 27, now that ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, it is an organism whose life is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this body, then, we are members both of Him and of one another. I want you to get that. We're members of Him and of one another. My right hand is a member of my body, but it's also a member of the other hand, which is the left hand, because that's also a member of my body. Therefore, there are divinely appointed and diversified gifts that are given unto us, and these by the same Holy Spirit. 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So verse 3 then says, these gifts are distributed to believers to be exercised according to the measure of faith given of God. Even faith, my friends, is a gift of God. And so he says, as he's given to us faith, use these gifts accordingly. This calls, of course, for a life of humility and to function in a God-given harmony. This is how very, very important that we see this particular point. Although each organ of the body or member of the body has its own particular functions, it is nevertheless interdependent upon other parts of the body. For example, the lungs take in the air, and from the lungs, the blood picks up the oxygen and transports it all over the body. Now, in this way, the lungs and the heart work in close harmony, yet they work completely different from each other. So, in this way, the lungs and the heart, then, work in close harmony, one with another. The one is of no use without the other. If our lungs ceased to function for just, let's say, a few minutes, we would die. In the spiritual sense, we are believers in Christ belonging to one body. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of that body. He gives it life. He directs and stimulates through the Holy Spirit every member of that body so that it functions properly. So then he plainly tells us that obedience to the Holy Spirit then becomes an essential thing for each member of the body to fit perfectly into the body and to work in harmony with the rest of it. Our life is from Christ the head. And that life operates by means of the Holy Spirit in and through the various members of the body. So to grasp this truth fully will mean that there would be less friction, less quarreling, and fewer question marks regarding what God has outlined for His servant. Well, we have
more to say on this subject tomorrow, so I trust that you'll be listening again. And keep on praying that God will deal with us as he does in his great mercy.